Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining me here on this fine, beautiful day here on the Central Coast here in Santa Barbara, California, as we broadcast live every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. We also stream live on the internet. Today, we are going to be discussing and maybe even discovering some things about ourselves that we hadn't looked at in a long, long time. We're going to be talking with the Let's Get It Done leadership coach and keynote speaker, Joy Gilfillan. We'll find out about all of the websites she has available to you and the information regarding Biology of Influence. Stay tuned.
Talk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you. Oh.
We are working in that direction, folks, to understand one another, to understand where we're coming from, where we're going to, and where we are right now, and really getting on target, on purpose, so that we can achieve the things that we want for our lives and for our communities, our families, and even our country and world. And as we broadcast today, we are just days away from a national election to elect a brand new head of state, if you will, for this country, as well as around the country in the different states and localities, community cities, counties, different people to lead us and guide us and move us forward. So it's kind of, I'd say, auspicious that we have Joy Gilfillan on the line. And Joy, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. You have, without a doubt, a lot to say. You've been working at this for quite a number of years and putting all of these various things together. And you actually came up with what I find is fascinating, the biology of influence. And many people talk about, you know, what is it that creates us? Is it our environment, or is it our genes? And then we're not actually going specifically in that direction, but it sort of rolls and ties into that as far as who we are, why we are who we are today. And if we don't like it, if we don't feel congruent, we don't feel like we're on target, how we can change that. And again, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit here about that first term that I threw out, and that is this biology of influence. It's sort of the focal point of our program today.
Yeah, I've been a farm kid I grew up as a farm kid. I moved into the city, got into business, worked in energy medicine, raised a family, got into news news reporting and politics and various things over the years, community development. And as I got into energy medicine and the living nature of life, it's like everything sort of tied back together when I started worrying about, you know, what is the future that our children are going to inherit on this earth if we continue to destroy the biology and the living organism of the planet itself. And I started looking at, you know, what can I do to change the future? Am I significant or insignificant? All of the paradoxes and these things that we hear about, you know, people will say, well, one person can make a difference, and yet when you look around, sometimes you feel like you can't make any difference at all, that you're just sort of like running on a treadmill going nowhere.
Yeah.
And eventually what I did is I looked back and I said, you know, if the universe was workable, if we could change the future, if we could make a difference that was significant, how would that work, and how would I work within it? And it ended up putting me inside the research arena, when most of the time you read all this stuff, it's about trying to stay out of the research thing. And this time I went inside it and I said, you know, if the world worked and I was significant in it, how would it work? So I came up with I coined the phrase biology of influence. And it's basically a form of folk psychology, I suppose, or applied physics, because I studied everything from quantum physics down to energy medicine, from, you know, human potential coaching and all the stuff I'd done in business coaching down to, how can I influence my kids and my teenagers and the boys at school?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, you know, how does that influence the world? And so sort of from an inside-out look, I realized that we are each self-determining organisms. We are each are alive, and we are part of the world around us.
Well, and one of the ironies, as you've already stated, is, of course, you know, we're sort of destroying the biology of the planet, but we seem to be doing that even on a more localized level as far as our individual physical human bodies by virtue of the things that we put in it. And I'm not even necessarily speaking of the things that we eat, drink, or, if you will, smoke. Sometimes it's the people we surround ourselves with, the television programs, the radio programs that we listen to and we watch, the things that we read, And how many people take time to stand, as I did last night, out on a patio just listening to the rainfall? Just hearing that. Staying away from the television set. I mean, there were a number of programs that were on, interesting, but not interesting enough. I was enthralled by, as many people were over the last day or so here in the South Coast, with the rain, because we haven't had it for so long.
Yeah.
And it was such a joy to see it come down. Of course, there are some concerns over flooding and mudslides and those types of things, but thank goodness we haven't had the drenching. But we tend to minimize those aspects of our lives, and we just go about our daily lives, and we get stressed and overwhelmed by all of the things that we must do, and we don't stop. And there are ways that we can, as we're going to discuss, how we can change that biology. How we can sort of, I guess, in one sense, sort of rebuild the cells, or as the body builds new cells, they're healthy cells, they're strong cells, they're potential cells.
Every single thing in your body has the potential to become better.
Yeah.
And everything around you has the potential to become better. And, you know, it's funny, we can get, like you say, totally and completely overwhelmed and distracted by the amount of chaos, the amount of stories, the amount of news media, the amount of toxins in our environment, the amount of movies that we watch and the stories that we hear about all kinds of things. And we can get ourselves so busy that we're so busy, you know, busyness, BUSY-NESS, we can be so busy doing the busyness of our lives that we never get to live our lives.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I know that when I was a kid, that, like you said, you know, being able to stand in the rain, being able to actually notice the weather and feel the wind on your body and being able to smell the smells, these are part of our biology. And when you look at the world around you, it is so important to be able to take time, and it's almost like a chaos intervention process where you can actually stop and stand still long enough to notice what's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Whether you're in the big city or out on the beach, you know, Santa Barbara is gorgeous. You can be out on the water there. It's just it's stunning.
Yeah.
And to be able to have that freedom and to be able to actually go there and feel it, what you'll notice is that you do have a sixth sense that when you take the time to slow down and feel it, you can feel the world around you.
For many people, this is a whole new concept. As a matter of fact, sort of the quota worksheet that you have, it's people are starting to begin the process, hopefully, of making the choice to adopt new paradigms. And that's what we're all about here on the program, new paradigms for a new world. And we're going to continue talking with Joy Gelflin here on the program as we continue bringing you Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I want you to stay with us. I also want to thank one of my fine sponsors, Dr. Joe Wong. He's done a candy buyback, a candy for cash out at his dental office today, the day after Halloween. It's a really cool thing that he's done now for the second year in a row. Great success, and we are going to be having an opportunity to chat with him one of these days here on the program about his dentistry and how he's changing lives through what he's doing. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Don't go away. What kind of a world do you want? Do you want to change your world? Well, the program Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, we're bringing you those choices and the knowledge of those choices with people like Joy to talk about and help you to transform your world, to make your dreams come true. And what we're finding is that there are folks now who are more interested in making a difference in the world than collecting more stuff. I don't need any more stuff. I don't know about you. I don't need another garage full of things. And fortunately, Joy, I don't have a garage anymore. I'm renting. We live up on in the rural areas above Santa Barbara, so there's no place to put the car. So I can't fill up another space.
Yeah.
So that's another good way to look at it. If you get rid of the rooms to fill, then you don't fill them. And it's just a good thing. You don't feel as encumbered or as heavy. But we also tend to load ourselves up with a lot of information. But the whole point is to sift through what works for us, what will help us. We also want to talk about, and I'm going to throw an equation out, and I'm going to have you explain it, because we've talked about this an awful lot in the past, and that is the 98-2 ratio. Let's talk a little bit about what that means and how that impacts us.
Well, it was really fascinating. When I started looking at, you know, what is really significant and what is relevant and what do I really need to know to change the world or to change the planet or to change myself, what I found was this proportionality sort of a 98% to 2%. I found out that the Earth is apparently roughly 98% water and 2% actual landmass, that the ratio of fresh water to salt water is similar, but the fresh water is only the 2%, and the salt water is 98%. I found out that the human body, according to one of my friends who's a double PhD chemist physicist type person, she told me that when you actually burn the body up, that there's only roughly 2% mineral base left, and the rest of it was 98% basically water, air, organic matter, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So living tissue. And when I sat and I started looking at that, and then I realized that the human body is saline, you know, and it's the saline in the blood or in our lymphatic system or whatever that actually is the conductor of electricity. And then I realized one day my son's in the hospital, and I'm studying all these things from energy medicine to living foods to toxicity to wellness and all this stuff. My son ended up in the hospital with a brain concussion. And as he's sleeping there, I'm looking at this machine, and it finally registered on me that this machine was measuring whether he was alive or dead based upon his ability to conduct electricity. And I went, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Our whole measurement of life force, our whole, you know, and this put quantum physics and all this, you know, vibrational match and all this, you know, law of attraction. And it's like it brought all of this stuff into this critical point for me where I went, wow, if our bodies are truly primarily conductors of electricity, that's what our heart's doing, it's pumping, mm-hmm. you know, to create blood around, sure, but it's like it's conducting electricity. Our brain uses massive energy. And so everything about us, we really truly are energy that's floating through a little bit of mineral conductivity. And when you start looking at that, and then I started realizing, this is so funny, I started realizing that when I'm talking to you right now, I mean, I'm in Bellingham, Washington. You're in Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'm conveying my essence and who I am through this telephone line to you. You're picking it up. You're sharing it with all the people in your audience. I'm changing the world right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Whether you're good or bad, you know, big or small, that's not the point. I'm sending out sound waves from my mouth, which are coming from electrical impulses in my brain, which is driven by the beating of my heart and my desire to be alive and my mm-hmm. desire to share something and your desire to listen to it. And so most of my life and most of my vitality and all of our stuff is all about energy, and yet what we do, Richard, is we spend most of our time looking at the physical 2% that we see around us as if my body is 2% is all there is.
Yeah.
But when you really touch your body, when you really touch your body and you look at it and you realize what it is, you're a bag of water.
Yeah.
And
oh,
your
yeah.
bag of water, when you look at water, what is water? Water is gas at a certain temperature. It's H2O
mm-hmm.
at a certain temperature. So we're mostly not here. And our whole expression and our whole life force is an exchange of energy with the world around us, which means we're one with the world around us energetically. Not only that, we also eat our carrots and we eat food that we bring into our body, or we eat, you know, Coca-Cola or something. I shouldn't mm-hmm. have even used that word because that's advertising for them, and I don't want to advertise for them. But we eat food that we take into our body, and we convert that food into eyeballs and hair follicles and hormones.
Right. Yeah.
And then we expel that. And so we truly are. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people in the metaphysics world or the quantum physics or the, you know, whatever, they talk about, and a lot of people in meditation will say, you know, sit down and, you know, do your meditation, become one with the world around you. Well, you know what? We are one with the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we're significant, every one of us. And that means we can, in fact, and do, in fact, influence the world all the time, whether we are conscious of it or not, whether we accept responsibility for it or not, and whether we do something progressive with it or we use our energy to continue to destroy and tear down those things that are growing around us. So,
and here we're talking here about learning how to do the influencing, the affecting, how whatever term you want to use, the changing, on a more conscious, on purpose, and if you want to use the term positive, progressive, what have you, in that direction, to build, to create. Now, people do have to understand, too, that there is the cycle that we tend to forget about, and that is to create and to destroy, and to create and destroy. Birth, life, death, life, death. We're born into this world, we live our lives, we die. Born into this world, live our lives. That's the cycle. So things are created and built, and over a period of time, eventually they turn back to dust, if you will, or back to energy, and then they're reconstituted and reformed into something physical again. I mean, that's just the cycle of life. I mean, I'm not saying anything that isn't that science doesn't support. Now we're talking about doing this on purpose, a purpose.
And what's really important is that a lot of people think that it's either life or death,
mm-hmm.
and they think of it as a duality, or they think of it as death as being something to fear. And when I got inside the equation and I started looking at it, I realized that actually you and I are ancient organisms. We have, in fact, biologically been alive on this planet for thousands and thousands of years. We didn't just sprout out of the ground somewhere. We
right.
came from our parents.
And
our parents were alive.
That's right. And you keep carrying that back. I mean, I even talk, what was it? Oh, the super collider. And I got to thinking about how they're trying to recreate the events, the instant of the Big Bang. And I'm thinking, well, now, wait a minute. Even if you were able to do that, that still doesn't tell you what was before the Big Bang. However, something had to be before the Big Bang because there had to be something there to generate the inertia, the energy, the force for the Big Bang.
Well, and when you actually look at that and you start really recognizing that you, Richard, are an ancient organism that has been alive, in fact, on this planet for thousands and thousands of years, you know, your parents and then your grandparents mm-hmm. and your cells before that, I actually figured out, I think I can't remember how many generations I thought about it, if your parents are two cells,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you came, your 27 current cells,
mm-hmm.
27 trillion current cells, were started out as two cells from your mom and dad, your parents were 27 trillion cells each, and before that, they were four cells from your grandparents.
Right.
Right? I mean, granted, this is fractional and it's minuscule, but the fact is, your living cells, the desire to be alive in your body, your impulse to say, I wish to live, and I wish to be, and I wish to continue, that has been alive for thousands of lifetimes, and that just plays havoc with all these stories around reincarnation and all this stuff, because when I actually calculated it back, my physical cells have been alive, living in something like 2,000 or 4,000 bodies or something in the last 10 to 12 generations of my family.
Yeah.
And so that's like mind-boggling.
Yeah. There's another element that I remember from a program I went through. They talked about this. And, for example, if we were to stop right now, and one of the techniques that you shared with me, it's nothing new, but it was something that when we were doing a program together a month or so ago, and we were both, or people in the group that we were discussing, we were feeling a little stressed. We were just kind of like feeling bogged down. So, okay, everybody stop and just take a breath. Breathe in and breathe out. And then, of course, you described, okay, now how are you feeling, blah, blah, blah. Well, the thing that I learned in this program was that the breath that I just inhaled and exhaled, the oxygen, those cells that make up, those atoms that make up the breath that went in and out, will come back to me if you could tag them and watch them move around the globe. They would come back in about a year and a half to 2 years, but they would come back. And that also plays to the aspect that we are all connected, that we affect one another.
Yeah, and we have this illusion. See, this is the 98 and 2% again.
Mm-hmm.
We have this illusion that we can control it.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a joke.
It is.
We can't necessarily control it and contain it, which is, I think, one of the biggest reasons why we ended up with the atom bomb or whatever that
mm-hmm.
is, the nuclear, you know, that bomb where they try to combust everything and pretty soon it can all explode, because you're trying to control living matter or energy that wants to be free.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, living energy wants to be free. We want to live. We want to love. We want to grow. We want to experience. And that energy is constantly moving in and out of us. And one of the reasons why, you know, the breathing works so well is because it allows you to move the energy through your system.
Mm-hmm.
And the more energy and more vitality you can move through your system, the larger you can sing. If you look at people who sing all the time, like, you know, Pavarotti and these, I mean, my gosh, the vitality and the energy of some of these people,
yeah.
because they can move large amounts of energy through their systems, And now I want to go into that idea of the power of focus.
Mm-hmm.
John F. Kennedy was one of those people who was able to not only move energy through his system, but he was able to collect and attract massive amounts of energy to his vision and where he was moving towards.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the key is learning that you individually, this is what I finally determined, and this is why I wrote this Roadmap to Conscious Social Change that I'm going to allow people to go onto my website and download, is that what's key is when you understand that you, in the moment, have control over your biological, physiological, and energetic body, your body, mind, spirit, and when you learn that you are in control of that, you choose it. And by your thought, you either are constructing the world around you or you are helping the deconstructive process.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to use the word destructive. It's
mm-hmm.
deconstructive. It's only destructive if you intend to break things.
Yeah.
But there is a natural deconstructive flow to the energy of the universe, and there is a constructive flow, and in the middle is the process. And it's, you know, construction and deconstruction are on the two ends of the spectrum of how we can think it in our brains.
Yeah.
But the 98% is all of the process in the middle.
I can have 100 pieces, whatever they may be, put them all together into one form, and I've just constructed something. Then I can disassemble those 100 pieces and then put I loved Legos. I absolutely loved them.
Sure.
And I love those kinds of puzzles where you can make different shapes with the puzzles. I used them in photography class in college. It was great fun. We're talking with Joy Gilfillan, and we're going to continue having great fun here talking about the biology of influence. If you want to check out the information, you can go to joythinks.com, joythinks.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. We're here every Saturday afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Did you know that we come to the end of daylight savings time tonight, or wherever you might be at 2 a.m. and you move your clock back 1 hour so you get to sleep an extra hour, but then they take it back in March. Needless to say, it'll be fun. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining us. If you'd like to touch base with Joy, you can do that. Go to joythinks.com, joythinks.com. You can touch base with me at richard@richarddugan.com, and we have a link to her website as well. Go there and check it out. Check out all the information, previous programs, and this program will be available up online. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Joy Gilfillan, and you can check her out at joythinks, T-H-I-N-K-S, joythinks.com. We're talking about the biology of influence. And I have to say that, and it's not actually a frustration or even a challenge, it's just interesting that as we talk here, Joy, there's so much information that is available and that you get into that once people have heard it, it's like it, at least for me anyway, I'm hoping that folks listening, it clicks. It's like it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense. Now, you have also created, and we were talking, of course, the 98 and 2 and how to do this consciously, how to create consciously. And staying focused and so forth. By the way, Joy is a Let's Get It Done leadership coach. I'm curious how you came up with that or where that came from.
I'm a cowgirl.
Okay, well, there you go.
And if you just got to get it done, you just got to get it done. Mm. And you just got to do it. And as I've been looking at my entire life, I tend to have this kind of an attitude to everything I come up to. And so when I was looking at it, how can we change the world so that the planet, you know, it makes me very, very sad to look at the world and the condition of our species and the condition of our environment, and to realize that in the 30 years that I've been on the planet, or the 50 years that I've been on the planet, massive amounts of degradation has happened, and it's directly because of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how in the world are we going to turn that around and get it to go the other direction? Because if we've been acting unconsciously because we think we're separate from nature and we think we're separate from the earth, then how can we turn it the other way around? And I went, you know what? We don't have time to hang around and argue about whether it can or can't happen. We just got to get it done.
Yeah.
So, and then I, you know, as I built this roadmap to, you know, if it's true that we are one with the universe around us, in fact, and if, in fact, biologically we affect the world and energetically affect the world, and this isn't just some, you know, new age gobbledygook or some new, you know, power positive thinking thing, how does that actually work? And when you get inside it and you get it, you really get it. Mm-hmm. You are one. We are, in fact, physically, emotionally, energetically tied to the world around us. Then I just looked at it and I took responsibility for it. It's partly my only responsibility to start to energetically and physically and emotionally affect the world around me to be better, and let's just get it done. Let's get on with it. We all know we're in a pickle. Mm-hmm. Standing around stewing over it and arguing over whether we should or shouldn't fix it is just simply stupid.
Yeah, or you whether know? We should fix it because it's the cause of this or that or the other. The reality is we're here.
It doesn't
we've
matter.
We've got to deal with it.
That's right. We are here now. Our only point of power is in the now, as Eckhart Tolle is talking about, and you know various people talk about it. Your point of power is right now.
Yeah.
Our point of power as a human species on this planet is right now. Our tipping point to be able to change and make a difference on the planet is right now. Our ability to vote and to make a difference for our country is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in the now.
Yeah.
Everything from the past is just a story. It's the past. And I guess that sort of rolls me into this next piece, I think, Richard,
mm-hmm.
which is where you're trying to go to.
Yeah.
About the, you know, how do we convert and how do we work in that space between what is past and what is future? It's all of that, you know, it's like there's the far history, which is back thousands of years. There's our own physical in this construction of our body,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this physical lifetime. There's that past, and then there's the future that we're creating, and our point of power is in the now, and that's like 98% of where all of our energy is anyway.
Yeah.
So how do we control that energy? Because right now, you know how much fear we've got going, Richard.
Oh, sure. And you used an interesting phrase, though, that sort of counters what you said earlier, too. Not to catch you in a contradiction, but you say the energy, you can't control it. And in one sense, there's a certain element of, yeah, we want to take control and do it in a positive way, but at the same time, it's the way I've always described this radio show to people who have asked me to provide them with questions before the show, and I tell them I can't do that, to which they say, why not? And I say, because I don't know what I'm going to ask until we get there, because I allow the program to go whatever direction the program is going to go, and I let the universe just take it. And 99.9, not 98 by 2, but 99.9% of the time, the interviews, they go just fine. They go in a direction that needed to have gone into for whoever was listening at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go back to what you were just talking about, and we'll go ahead and use the term taking control.
Well, I'd like to say to guide it.
Okay.
To guide it and work with the energy in motion and recognizing that control is both true and an illusion, and that I guess what I was talking about, and very, very good to notice the language, because I think it's really important. It's like when you try to constrict it, when you try to resist the
mm-hmm.
change, when you try to stop the process of change, when you try to stop the energy that is in motion, you know, what you do is you create resistance, you create breakage, you create blockage,
yeah.
you create a breakdown or a clogging up of the qi energy, if you will, using energy medicine or Chinese medicine or
mm-hmm.
ancient,
yeah.
you know, Eastern language, Oriental language,
uh-huh.
that when you try to block or control or stop that which is on its way out or that which is on its way past or that which is headed towards its own history, you know, you create resistance and you create this control freak issue.
Yeah.
And so learning to work with the flow of energy, recognizing that we are all part of a living, growing organism. This earth is a living universe.
Yeah.
We are part of a living universe.
To utilize a duality concept that I heard for years in my early years of broadcasting, I always heard this phrase, resist not evil. And what that says is don't resist evil. It doesn't mean give in to it. It means, in essence, turn your back and walk the other direction. If you're not pushing against the brick wall that is not going to give, and you're walking the other way, what are you using your energy for?
Well,
walking the other way.
Yeah, but here's the irony. Resist, not evil. That's two sets of negatives.
Yes.
Against a judgment, which is evil, that evil exists in the first place.
Right.
And so all three of those are actually a whole paradox of reality that, you know, I guess I'd want to question the whole story in itself.
Sure, and I'm thinking that that's going to be for another show, another time. But you know, the example why I'm bringing us
yeah.
to that example, because you're talking about using the, guiding the energy, if you will, or being guided with the energy to achieve those wonderful things. Because wouldn't you agree that even though we could sit here and say, oh, this is my purpose in life. But, you know, if I say that, I say, I'm going to modify that and say, this is my purpose in life now. I don't know what my purpose in life will be in the next 10 minutes or next 20 days or next 20 years. I just know what it is right now. Because it's always changing.
Well, that's and that's also, there's a story trap in this, and I think that what's really important is that through time we start to look at story traps,
mm-hmm.
and we start to look at, you know, everything is changing, so therefore there's no point in trying to do anything. You know, that's true, except that, you know what, just because the seasons are changing and the earth is changing, there's no reason that I shouldn't get up in the morning and go to bed at night and love on my family and do things.
Right.
So inside of all of these things, you know, it's really frustrating to me sometimes when I hear people quote these famous people,
mm-hmm.
and they make a statement as if the statement is true, and just because somebody in history said it, I'm supposed to just absorb it and say it's true. When
yeah.
people will say things like, you know, everything, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how stupid is that? I mean, you know.
Okay.
I mean, that's frankly, I think that's purely stupid. Everything is new under the sun, and yet it is true that nothing is new from the standpoint of all of the molecules, perhaps, but how in the heck do we even know that?
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on, give me a break. I mean, how smart are we? This
yeah.
is like stupidity. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, what's funny is that you're getting on your soapbox, which takes me to another place, another place that you're just guiding this thing along. Soapboxcommons.com is another one of your websites. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is where I want to talk about appreciation.
Okay.
You know, because when everything is out there and all these molecules and all this energy and all this stuff is coming through us, we are constantly changing. So everything is new under the sun in its new configuration. So that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
And yet, a lot of times what we do in our cultural story traps, okay, we have this story that humans are bad or that the world is bad, and we spend a lot of our time in our media talking about all the bad things that are happening. And yet in my experience, when I actually started looking around at, you know, how much is really bad,
mm-hmm.
and how many businesses really are bad, and how many humans do I know are truly in fact bad,
yeah.
and when I asked myself that question one day, I went, this bad good story, does it even exist?
Yeah.
Or is it just a story? It's a human interpretation is what I finally agreed, you know, I came to the conclusion that it's just a story we made up, because
mm-hmm.
of all the people that I've met in my entire life, you know, the number of people who I met who actually were really mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, truly, truly mean, like vicious mean, like they intended to really, truly cause harm.
Right.
You know, it's a handful.
If that many. Yeah.
And even those people who did things that were not necessarily very nice, did they really mean to do it because they were bad, or was it because they had a story that put them in a place where they reacted instead of responded appropriately? And so my bottom line conclusion is that there's thousands of people that I have actually met in my life,
mm-hmm.
and they're all great people.
Yeah, I can even say the same thing. I mean, I've interviewed, I don't know how many thousand people in the almost 30 years that I've been doing this, and that's just the people I've interviewed, not to mention the people that I've produced radio programs for and commercials for and just met in different settings and on. And again, we're talking literally about thousands of people, each of us in that respect, and then people listening. If you were to sit there and count all the people from your childhood
that's
up to
right.
the present moment, how many of those people were really bad? And yet we make those generalized statements.
That's right. And so what the whole point of SoapboxCommons.com is, a lot of people will make this statement that businesses do bad things or that business is bad or whatever, and that people are bad that are in business. And I was in network marketing, and I got a lot of flack from a lot of people for being in network marketing. And yet now, today, network marketing is one of those very popular things.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, what I realized is that there are thousands and thousands of companies that are really doing good things for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people inside many different kinds of companies that you may not even like the company, but the people inside the company are doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And so why don't we create a website? Soapboxcommons.com is such a website where my goal, and it's, you know, it's in development, of course, but my goal is to be able to have many people from around the world sharing the good news about what people are doing that is win-win-win for the planet, where we have a win for the individual, a win for the community, and a win for the vitality of the Earth itself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've started blogging, I've started posting up there. Eventually I'm going to have that as more of a social marketing website, but for right now it's what it is. And what we want is we want people, if you've got ideas of, and you know people who are doing provocative things that are really progressive, truly progressive, and they deserve to be acknowledged, I want to be able to acknowledge them there, because it's there when we start to appreciate what people are doing that is good, and we start, that is constructive.
Mm-hmm.
When we get into things that people are doing that is constructive to
right.
help make this world a better place,
mm-hmm.
then we start attracting, and you start guiding and controlling energy towards what is useful, what is productive, what is constructive on the planet, and we can make a difference.
And even you and I have actually, I shouldn't say gone around in circles on different things, but we tend to catch each other every once in a while in the terminology. I mean, you stopped yourself and said, not good, but constructive. But then I'm also thinking, too, that it's, And that's why I'm thinking that somewhere down the road we'll have you back again, because we're going to talk in the coming months here with one of your partners about the story, and we're going to talk about vocabulary, the words that we use that generate those stories and mm-hmm. that perpetuate this whole business that we and that's a hard one for all of us. I mean, it's one thing for me to go to the local city college, Santa Barbara City College, and take a language course in Swahili or Russian or what have you. That's one thing. But now you're not talking about taking a class in English language. You're talking about taking a class, if you will, in how to use those words that are, and I struggle here to try to find the right words to describe this, because it's
a class in perception.
Yeah, okay.
And in truth.
Yeah.
And in reality.
Yeah.
You know, is there good or bad? No. Is there right and wrong? Maybe, and maybe there isn't.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just two different sides of a coin. And in between is somewhere of the truth. And, you know, when you go into the legal profession, you find out
yeah.
that we argue right and wrong, and yet who is right and wrong? Oftentimes, law cases are brought out that didn't provide justice.
Well, as people take a look at the newspapers and they read about what, you know, wherever the stock market was or is or is going and whatever the economic situation is at any given time, I thought a great point was brought up by a friend of mine who said that nature, in particular, because I had mentioned about my chickens and the chicken farm, and he used the concept of farming, he says, mm-hmm. do you realize that the corn stalks and the chickens laying the eggs and the cows that give the milk haven't a clue as to what the Dow is doing, nor do they care.
Right.
They just do their thing.
That's right. It's a human made-up story.
Yeah.
That is like, you know, when I look at the whole planet and I start looking at the body, mind, spirit story.
Yeah.
And I sat down and I thought, you know, we've got the physicality of what's really going on, the biology of influence, if you will,
mm-hmm.
or the biology of the world around it, the physics of it. And then you have the mental story, the games that we make up in order to exchange commerce or do business, or control our countries, or live inside our little glass house and look out at the world around us. And so we have these constructs that we make up. So it's like our mental game so that we can communicate with each other,
yeah.
right? That's like our own mental story, the human species mental story.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the spiritual story, which is whether it's you know, are we, you know, where did we come from, where are we going to, what's the meaning of life type of questions, and who do we listen to, and how do we get inspired to do whatever we do. And so there's the body, mind, spirit of the entire community, which is what is, I mean, that's like really fascinating for me, because it's in the balancing between these three things that give us the tipping point where we can turn our energy from a fear-based and fear-driven deconstructive pattern
yeah.
into a joy-based or a desirable pattern to create the world we want.
Yeah.
And so we have the opportunity right now to really change the future. And we have the opportunity in every single moment to redirect our future and to reconstruct it.
Because the bottom line is the way things are today is not the way they were 100 or 500 or 1,000 or even 10,000 years ago. So obviously people have been making changes in life and civilization and social structure for as long as man has been on the planet. And for a period of time, the way that this was constructed and so forth worked for a while, but then all of a sudden you get all this other stuff going on, and it's like, okay, we need to take another look and reevaluate and say, where do we really want to be? And where
Absolutely.
Do we want to go? And that's what we're here about. And we're going to talk more with Joy as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we encourage you to stay tuned. And we'll be telling you about next week's program as well. You can also hear this program when it's over. We'll have it archived up on the website. Just go to richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. You can also get in touch with Joy through joythinks.com. That's joythinks.com. You might also check out soapboxcommons.com. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay right where you are. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. And Joy Gilflin has been sharing with us her story here on the program. JoyThinks.com is her website. And you can get more information. You can check out this particular document that I actually have in front of me. And this is actually entitled The Roadmap for Conscious Social Change. And you also, you talked about duality early on in the program. I mean, good, bad, right, wrong, et cetera, et cetera. You've sort of turned a twist of the term and turned it into triality in terms of you have not only a diagram here with a triangle, but with three triangles. And we'll be talking about that as well. But you also are talking about making a shift, making a change from fear to joy. And we're not talking about from fear to Joy Gilflin.
No, we're definitely not. We're talking about the fear energy to joy-based energy.
Mm-hmm.
They're similar in speed and intensity, but they're very different in outcomes.
Okay.
And when you start really working with the energetics of things and you start recognizing that we are energy beings, like I was talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
like we were talking about,
yeah.
and you realize that we're really connected to the world around us, and when you realize that, you know, when you said duality to triality,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty funny. I've actually never heard that. And that's a fun phrase, because the truth is that when you're even looking at the duality and your eyes go to the right or to the left, in the middle is you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are part of the perception of the duality.
That's right.
So therefore, and you are in the middle, and there's a lot of space between you and both of them, so there's actually more in this whole diagram about you than there is about either one of the two opposites.
That's true.
Or the two perceived opposites. So that's, again, in that 98% of change. Now, when you look at the human body, and we look at the fact that all of this is energy in motion through us, and then you realize that what we do is we interpret that energy that's moving through us, oftentimes with an emotional or a judgmental slant. So we will feel the energy in motion coming through, and if it's a scream, or if it's a loud noise, or if it's a story that scares us, what happens is our body responds with an emotional interpretation, and it causes a constriction in the brain or in the neuropeptides and the release of hormones and the release of chemicals in the brain. It affects your heartbeat. It affects how you're breathing. It affects your heart rate. You know, it has a physiological effect on you. Now, and that effect, if you're performing in sports, what you'll learn is that that effect can actually cause you to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us experience this anytime. Somebody accuses you of something, you get scared because your brain interprets it as something to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
You get scared, you choke up, you can't speak right, and you end up found guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
But if that same question comes in and you don't assume that it's a judgment or that it's bad or that you're going to be found guilty, and you can actually breathe into it and say, huh, there's an opportunity to look at what perception versus reality and let me enlighten them.
Yeah.
Now you look at it with a different energy. You create a joy-based energy, a constructive question. You can inquire, you can ask questions, you can provide information, and you can change the outcome of the question.
Well, I have to say that the whole gamut of this conversation and the information that you have is available through joythinks.com and through you and what you've prepared and are continuing to prepare and working on your book as well. And we want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. And is there any additional information as far as contact, or do they just go ahead and go to joythinks.com and boom, it's all right there for them?
It's all right there. I'd love to do speeches, you know, any kind of keynote, any kind of, I'm more than willing to coach people, mentor people, help groups to understand the power of the biology of influence, because we truly, if we understand it and we can network with it and we can work with it, we can change the planet.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's constructing and deconstructing, two different terms, but they are leading towards the same thing. And we want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, Joy.
You're welcome.
Stay on the line. We'll be talking with you in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan, and I want you to stay tuned because next Saturday at this same time, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, we're going to be talking with Edwine Gaines. She has basically made a 100% commitment to the transformation of the abundance consciousness of the world. Abundance consciousness. And in this day and age and time, people are focused on all kinds of things that are taking them in the wrong direction, and she's going to share with us her insights and perspectives. That's Edwine Gaines. Check out richarddugan.com. I thank you so much for listening. Love to all. Have a great day.